Let us pray. May only God's word be spoken, and may only God's word be heard. Amen. We're going to start today with the psalm, and I want to read a little bit of it to you, and not the one we sang, which is good, it's very good, but I want the one from your insert. Just a part of it. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. I shall keep it with all my heart. Make me go in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire. Incline my heart to your decrees and not to unjust gain. Turn my eyes from watching what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. Psalm 119, from which we read a very small section of today, is the longest psalm in the Bible, coming in at 176 verses. It's longer than some books in the Bible. It is an epic poem, and it is a love song. A love song, you say? Yes, a love song. A song of love to the law. Now, that may seem like a bit of a strange idea to most of us here. How do you sing a love song to the law? Perhaps a few of the lawyers or judges or legislators in this room might instinctually get that idea. But for most of us, this is probably an oddity. Notice all the synonyms for law in this poem. Statutes, commandments, decrees, ways, judgments. Now, Hebrew is not a verbose language. It does not have a lot of synonyms like English does. In fact, repetition of the same word is a defining characteristic of biblical Hebrew. And most often, when you read synonyms in your English translation, it's usually the same word in Hebrew, and the English translator just wants to make it more interesting for you. But in this case, it actually is the Hebrew, all these different Hebrew words for this, which should strike you as a bit important. That the author decided to do this differently than the standard way. And so the poet is pointing out all the stops, trying to find out every possible word to describe the law. And using one of these words, the law or a synonym, in almost every verse of our selection. Did you notice that only one verse in the entire psalm we read today did not use the word law or synonym for law? And in fact, almost every verse in the entire psalm, all 176 verses of it, uses the word law or a synonym, decree, statutes, commandments, ways, something like that. And then all those words for the law are paired with a word language for love, like heart and desire, as we hear today. Elsewhere in the poem, it is really striking as we hear the kind of language reserved for a beloved. Open my eyes that I may see the wonders of your law. With my whole heart I seek you. With my lips will I recite all the judgments of your mouth. My delight is in your statutes. My soul is consumed at all times with longing for your judgments. This is an angsty teenager, isn't it? Consumed at all times. The earth, O Lord, is full of your love. Instruct me in your statutes. Oh, how I love your law. All the day long it is in my mind. How sweet are your words to my taste. This is almost inappropriate. How sweet are your words to my taste. They are sweeter than honey in my mouth. And that's just a small selection of the loving way that the psalmist, the poet, speaks of his beloved, the law. The connection between law and love might surprise us, because not how we usually think about law. But for us, it really shouldn't surprise us too much. Jesus, after all, teaches us that the law has to be interpreted through love, right? What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So we've already known that if we view the law in any way but through the lens of love, we misunderstand it. Let me read you another poem, just a part of another poem. A bit more recent than today's psalm, this one only a couple of decades old. It is called The Law That Marries All Things by Wendell Berry. The cloud is free only to go with the wind. The rain is free only in falling. The water is free only in its gathering together, in its downward courses, in its rising into the air. In law is rest. If you love the law, if you enter singing into it as water in its descent. In law is rest. If you love the law, if you enter singing into it as water in its descent. Another poem of love and the law. Now there are two primary kinds of law. There are the laws that governments make. If you fail to pay the parking meter, you might have to pay a fine, right? A very simple governmental law. If you're something a little bit more serious, you might need to also pay a lawyer. There's that kind of law. And then there are the laws of nature, like the law of gravity. You can try to defy this law if you want to, but it's probably going to hurt when you hit the ground, right? Wendell Berry's poem is about this second kind of law, the law of the movement of clouds in the wind, the law of the descent of rain, the law of the gathering together of water. For Berry, as a farmer who's deeply concerned with issues like sustainability and soil erosion, the proper husbandry of animals, etc., I suspect he is referring to these sorts of issues. For instance, you can over-fertilize your soil if you want to. There is not a governmental law against that. Maybe it's some way out there limit you might encroach on some law. But there isn't really a law to over-fertilize your soil. But if you do it, the laws of nature are going to catch up to you. And you will soon find that your soil no longer gives life on its own. But when you love the law, the rhythms of the seasons, the interconnectedness of all of creation. When you love this law, when you become one with it, you will find freedom in it, and you will ultimately find life-giving rest in it, and find yourself able to sing a love song to it. And though we tend to think of God's law as the first kind of law, it looks like it after all, doesn't it, with all those shoulds and should nots. It really is more like the second. You can break God's law if you want to for a while, but ultimately you will find death, not life, in that choice. Leviticus, which is one of the books of the law, gives us a clue to understand why this is the case. Before getting into the list of all the things you should and should not do, God says, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.' You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then you have this whole list of all these laws. And then it will repeat itself. "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And you'll have another big list, seemingly random list of these laws. And the whole book is just peppered with this phrase throughout it. "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Our holiness and God's holiness are intertwined. They're interconnected. This is a bit of what Paul is trying to get at in the epistle today and talking about us as the temple and God dwelling there. And the temple is a holy place and God's holiness dwells in that holy place, which is you, right? There's that connection between our holiness and God's holiness. The laws of God, the laws of which the psalmist sings, are about aligning our lives with God's life. When we find ourselves following these laws, these judgments, these statutes, these ways, we find this path life-giving because we are congruent with the giver of life itself, the Lord our God. It's all about that freedom of entering in the wind like the clouds and entering into the descent like the rain. And so when we hear these words, these laws we heard today, to not gather the gleanings of our fields, which basically means do not squeeze every ounce of profit out of your harvest for your own selfish gain, but rather leave some for the poor And for the aliens, the foreigners among us, which there are and there should be, that act is not just about helping others, which of course it does, but the act aligns us with the life-giving love and abundance of God. And when we hear these words, these laws about not taking vengeance and not bearing grudges, we've aligned ourselves with God's overwhelming and overflowing mercy and grace. When we hear these words, these laws about not profiting from the blood of our neighbor, we cannot receive our own life at the expense of someone else's life. We've aligned ourselves with the source of that true life, God's life. Jesus is building on this teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, as we heard in the Gospel. These are new teachings, which, like Moses receiving the law on a mountain, Jesus is speaking out from a mountain, connecting us, this new law, with that old law that we heard. These new teachings do not abolish the old ones or supplant them. When Jesus says, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy," he is not quoting Scripture. I know you may hear that from time to time. It's not there. You can go look for it. It's not there. He's not quoting Scripture. What he's doing is he's quoting a popular interpretation of Scripture. You have heard it said, love your neighbor but hate your enemy. But here is the proper interpretation of what the law says. Love your enemies. I think it's probably the hardest ones of all, isn't it? Love your enemies. Which makes it abundantly clear the idea that we've already seen in Leviticus, we've already seen in the law, that we cannot just love our own. We can't do it. We have to, if we want to be congruent with God, if we want to be congruent with Jesus Christ, we have to love others, yes, even unto our enemies, for they too are created in God's image. And they too are part of God's family. These laws are the same as the sun rising and the rain falling. We can pretend that they are otherwise, but when we do, we are out of sync with God's truth and holiness and grace and mercy and love. Being out of step with them is something we can do for a while, if you want to try, but like gravity, it eventually is going to hurt you. Our hearts are unsettled as long as we're out of alignment with God. When we do all kinds of mental gymnastics to justify ourselves instead of resting in the truth, resting in the law, resting in God's love. Being in step with the law allows us, as the psalmist says, to find life in God's ways. So walk in these ways. My sisters and brothers in Christ, walk in these ways. Sing a love song to God and God's love, law. Find rest and find your life as you become one with the giver of that life. Amen.